It's been a distressing day for families and friends of those killed in the Dreamworld tragedy, as findings from a Queensland coronial inquest into the accident were handed down. Cindy Lowe, Kate Goodchild, her brother Luke Dorsett and his partner Ruzi Aragi died when the ride malfunctioned in October 2016. The inquest sat for 6 weeks last year, and today Queensland Southeastern Coroner James McDougall spoke of a systematic failure in safety standards at Dreamworld and that an accident was simply a matter of time. For more, I'm joined by Christine Jackman, a journalist, author and commentator within queensland.com.au. Christine, welcome.
Thanks, PK.
What were the main findings as you sat there in that inquiry as this was handed down?
It was an incredibly scathing report, over 300 pages of findings, Patricia. And I must say, in the time I've been a journalist, more than 20 years covering court findings, I don't think I've ever witnessed such an absolute scathing report on a company, particularly one that's involved fatalities. James McDougall absolutely savaged Dreamworld and its parent company, Ardent Leisure. He found their safety management practices were, quote, rudimentary and deficient and even frighteningly unsophisticated. He said that the fact that nobody had died before that awful day on October 2016 was more a matter of good luck than good management. And I think that's terrifying, but also infuriating for anybody who's ever had a child at Dreamworld or visited that place themselves, to sit there and hear a judge, an experienced lawman, describe this incident as something that was completely avoidable and caused just by a completely systemic failure of record keeping, safety maintenance and training.
This family ride was the most popular at Dreamworld, according to the coroner. What did he say about its design and its construction that made this accident inevitable?
It's one of the oldest rides. It was built in and began operating in 1987, and it had very, very rudimentary operations procedures to begin with, very little automation, and it hadn't been updated to reflect better practices. So, for example, it had no markings to show when the water that carried the rafts around the track fell to dangerous levels. There was no scale or marking to even show ride operators that was the case. It relied completely on them simply noticing that was happening. No alarms that would tell them something bad was happening, and no automatic shut off. So it was left to, in this case, two operators, one of whom had only started working on that ride, had only received training for that ride that morning. It could pump through hundreds of people in an hour. So you can imagine all of that was reliant on two really busy people, often, as the coroner found, extremely poorly trained. And the other thing that I found particularly disturbing was, you know, there were often contradictory notes and memos on what should be done in a certain situation like this, and almost no documentation of when maintenance procedures had been taken place. They simply couldn't tell what was the problem. They knew that it had had a series of breakdowns that surely should have triggered alarm bells, but, you know, it was kept up and running. But when investigators went to look at what had happened over the years to see whether it had been maintained, upgraded, whether there'd been changes made to the way it should have been used, they found almost no documentation to even inform them about that.
Astonishing stuff. The coroner outlined further legal steps he'll take against Dreamworld's parent company, Ardent Leisure, today. What will happen? What's he said?
Well, he's found that as a part of his directions that he can refer on if there's a potential for an offence have been committed. And he's referred Ardent Leisure to the Office of Industrial Relations, formerly the Workplace Health and Safety Board, because he thinks it's, you know, quite possible that they have failed in their practices to a culpable degree, and that no doubt will be further prosecuted. Although I must add, one of the concerns looking at this very long report is that the oversight in this state is provided by the same regulator. And the coroner found that the Office of Industrial Relations had also really failed in some areas to provide proper, thorough and intense oversight to keep these rides up to standard.
What's been the reaction from the families and their legal representatives?
Well, one of the most awful things about this is seeing those families in court, as you'd know, and to see that, you know, several of them gave their own victim impact statements today, and there's no doubt that you have families that have been not just ripped apart in grief, but in the fallout afterwards. There is, you know, the families who, in one case, one grandmother who's lost contact with, you know, the children who were left behind, the grandchildren that were left behind. You have children growing up. Kate Goodchild's daughter, one of those daughters, will grow up never knowing her mum or her uncle because she was 8 months old when this accident happened. All of those things are just, as I said, absolutely tragic. It's hard to even imagine the grief that these families are dealing with. But you layer on top of that the absolute anguish when they hear that this whole thing was completely avoidable if just basic safety practices had been implemented.
The CEO, John Osborne, spoke a short time ago. Here he is.
Safety is our number one priority. I've been the CEO of Dreamworld for just over 12 months, and I'm proud to be leading a new leadership team consisting of experienced and well-regarded executives from the theme park and commercial Australian aviation industries, with the latter leading our engineering and safety systems departments. Not a day goes by where the new leadership team does not think about the events of October 2016, and this makes us fiercely determined to do everything possible to make sure such a tragedy never happens again.
What did the coroner have to say about the theme park's efforts to improve standards since 2016?
He didn't go into great detail on what has happened since. He was focusing more on the fact that while they have implemented some new safety procedures, that more has to be done and that the oversight of this theme park has to be improved. He noted that, for example, Australian safety standards generally for these rides in Queensland particularly, a lot of the rides are built overseas and they're built to safety specifications that are applied in, you know, in foreign countries, mainly, I believe, in Europe. We have a shortage of engineers to even who are even equipped or trained in knowing how to judge whether the rides are still functioning correctly. So all of that will be an ongoing issue that's just, it's actually bigger than the one company itself.
Christine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, PK.
Christine Jackman is a journalist, author and commentator with inqueensland.com.au, walking us through those findings today for that very sad story. This is RN Drive.